Welcome to the Equipers Church Budapest podcast. We hope today's message will encourage and inspire you. For more information, check equiperschurch.hu.
I ask, how are we doing? Come on. Hey guys, for those of you who don't know me, let me introduce quickly myself. I'm Toby, I'm part of the team here in Budapest. And just really a big privilege, guys, to be part of what is God doing, something really amazing here in Budapest, Hungary. Do you believe in it? Yeah. Come on. Hey, in Equipers, we often say that we are just really simply a group of friends challenging one another to go higher in Christ. So since we most of us are pretty good friends, so that's exactly what I do want to do tonight, just really challenge you a little bit. And that's really what I want to do. And we are, as Pastor Miro says, we are in the series called Relationship Moves. Let's say all together, Relationship Moves. Yeah, and just really been on the journey in the last couple of weeks talking about relationships, marriage, dating, sex. And just really, really my heart is to really be challenge you and stir up something in this area. And today I'll be pretty much jumping on from topic to topic because I don't preach every Sunday. And I want to teach you everything I have learned in my life about relationships. Come on. So, hey, I had to say, I actually still got a lot to figure out. I'm still learning a lot. So today, disclaimer, I'm preaching to myself as well. Awesome. But hey, before I start, I would just like to quickly honor my parents, Pastor Miro and Marta. We're just really thankful for, just really, it's an amazing gift to have you as a parent, because without you, I wouldn't really know as much as I know, and so thankful for how you are modeling marriage. These guys, even after more than 25 years of marriage, they are still in love. How many of you know that one thing is to fall in love, but completely another thing is actually to stay in love? And I'm just really, I really want to have marriage like you guys. I'm working on it. Come on, let's give them a shout out. They're amazing, they're amazing. And as well, would love to honor my beautiful, amazing wife, Kika. Kika, the most amazing person on planet. She's my better half. She's a gift from God. She's just really amazing. Let's give her a huge shout out. She's like a dream wife and mom. And she's an amazing chef, guys. I'm telling you. I know she's an amazing chef. You gotta taste and see one day. But yeah, just really one of the things I failed at what God actually wants to do and what God is doing around within us. Just really tonight as well, I feel, I don't know if some of you experienced in the last couple of weeks that something came on the surface, something ugly, something not really nice. Maybe it was something in your life. Maybe 2 years ago, I actually had a meeting. Pastor Steve was last time here, and we had a meeting before. And I came to him, I said like, oh, this morning I was really mean to Kika. I was really angry, and I don't know even know why, but I was really, really mad. and I didn't treat her properly and well. And just really something ugly came on the surface. And as I tell him, he actually told me this idea of how they are purifying the gold. You know, how many of you know if you take a gold or something and you throw it into the furnace, that something ugly is going to come on the surface, right? So, but the pure gold actually stays down there. The thing is, the ugly thing's always been there. But now, God sometimes, sometimes he adds heat in our lives so the things can come on the surface, but not because he want to say, oh, you are a mess, but because he's saying, oh, now is the time so I can take it from you. Now is the time I want to heal it. Now is the time I can bring the restoration. So I believe that sometimes there's something ugly comes in our families and in our relationships. It's always been there. But sometimes God actually is saying that, hey, you are not such a mess. God is saying, hey, I want to take it from you right now. Now is the time I want to take it. So I really believe we can move next. My message today is Jesus at the center when it comes to relationships. But yeah, just really believe, come on, let's really take a hold of it. After this test, after these things, if something is coming on the surface, we can move on. Just really, yeah, this is the verse I had. When God tests us, come on, let's say this prophetically, I will come as pure as gold. Let's say it together. I will come as pure as gold. Come on, do you believe in it? Okay, we are jumping too fast. But yes, come on. This is idea. Come on, after this season, God sometimes brings... Just really take the idea how gold is clean and purified. Come on, this is something I feel that God is doing in this church, in this season. And maybe in the next couple of weeks, you'll be like, oh, I didn't even know this is in my life. Oh, why am I being so angry right now? Or maybe God is making and building your character. So, hey, that's a good news. If something like that will come to life, I just want to say, come on, it's a good news. God is building your character. So let's go. Hey, just really part of my story, we can move on as well. Part of our story, is just really the idea that our whole life, we are pretty much growing as we're going. That's like our life's motto, we grow as we go. And the whole idea is just really want to encourage you, when it comes to relationships, finding the right partner, the spouse and all of that, we just really don't want you to waste time waiting for perfect conditions. Because if you keep waiting for perfect conditions, you'll never actually make anything done. The idea of Ecclesiastes 11:4 says that farmers who wait for the perfect weather never plant. Right? So hey, if they watch every cloud, they never harvest. So just really the idea, come on, we're not going to wait for perfect conditions. Eventually, all of us got to take the risk, right? And just, come on, I just really want to encourage you guys. Our lives were pretty risky. We did pretty lot of steps of faith. We actually got married quite young. We got married when I was 20 and Kika was 19. So it was really early. We are married for 4 years now. But it was a huge walk of faith and our lives. It's just really love having Kika and do this together. It's just really an adventure. So just really, and one of the things as well, we feel that there is a spiritual warfare. The enemy is trying to destroy family and marriages. I don't know if you feel it, but when you look around in our culture, what you can see that the enemy is pretty much attacking on relationships, on families. This trying to destroy marriage, trying to confuse people, trying to put the lies. And just really, we need to say, come on, God, we need you. God, we need you when it comes to our relationships, when it comes to our marriage. We need God. We can't make this alone. Come on, if we are about to win in our relationships, the best move is actually say, God, I need you. God, I need you, and I want you to be at the very center of our relationships. Because, hey, if we won't fight the enemy, what's going to happen? We finish fighting each other. The goal is not fight with one another. We actually want to fight for one another, right? And we believe that as well right now. What the enemy is doing is just pretty much attacking on this area, because I believe that we don't live in the last days, but we pretty much live in the last minutes. And the enemy knows what's coming next. So that's why he's really trying to attack on the families and marriages and all of that. But come on, God is bigger. Yes. Do you believe in it? Yes. Come on. Awesome. So hey, my message today is just really Jesus at the center. And the first thing what we need to do, how many of you actually want to have Jesus at the center of your relationships? Right? I hope the more hands going to be actually up, so I hope I will convince you by the end of the message. Anyway, first thing we actually got to do is to renew your mind when it comes to relationships. We actually need to renew our mind because we are surrounded by culture and Jesus. There is also a culture of the kingdom of God, which is a little bit different. Romans 12 verse 2 says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. And just really this idea, come on, when all of us we see is the culture and it says this is right, this is wrong, but come on, our idea is if we're going to be the same as the world, we have nothing to offer. We live inside of the world, but we are not of this world, right? We are part of the kingdom of God, which works everywhere. And come on, just really, what I want to intentionally use tonight, the language, I don't want to talk about girlfriend and boyfriends. I want to intentionally talk about marriage and about wife and husband, because I really believe that this is God's God's desire for us, not just to live together, when in the cultures we just live together and everyone is sleeping around and all of that. Come on, Equiper Church, we're going to keep focusing on God. We're going to keep looking at what the Bible says. We're going to keep shining. We got to be the salt. We got to be the light. And just really the idea intentionally speaking about the language, because when we are looking for a partner, my problem with this is this. If you're looking for a partner and you don't intentionally go into a marriage, you will end up with a broken heart. There is no other way out. You're either going to get married and you have a wedding, or you actually will end up with a broken heart, which is that's, I believe that none of us want to have a broken heart, right? We actually want to, yeah. So hey, let's not settle for less. And we often talk about the heartbeats. The heartbeats just really the values of our church. And we often say honor, excellence, advance, reach out together. So this is the way how we actually do our lives here. This is what we, values actually determine the culture we have here in the church. And the first value I want you to notice is honor. And we often say when it comes to honor, we actually seek to honor God's presence. We honor to see God's word, which is the Bible, and then each other, right? But when it comes to honoring God's word, it means if we do something that's not biblical, we're going to change it. Because we honor the word of God. Because we honor the Bible and we want to listen to it. Right? So for us, that's very important. And we often talk about how do we make theology when it comes about God. Yes, there are some things we experience, then we think, we reason. But then the Bible, when it comes to what we think, the biggest authority is actually the word of God. So in a way, come on, it doesn't really matter what you and I think. What matters most is what the Bible says. And that's on what we are building. So sometimes we say that we don't just want to bring the Bible down, our theology down, how we think of God down. We actually want to lift up our experience to the level of our theology, to the level of what God is and how big it is. And one of the things that first we want, why it's important that we renew our thinking. What do you think? Why it is important? So first, we really need to change our thinking, and then God can change our reality and experience. Because if we'll keep going like, if you don't really even believe for a marriage for your whole life, why should God give you a partner if you end up divorcing after a few fights? Right? So first, what we need to do, we got to change our thinking. We got to reprogram our mind to what the word of God says and what the Bible is saying. So just really, that's one of the first things. And the second thing actually we got to do is to put God first. It's really important. We got to put God first. So hey, do you want to have bad marriage? Put yourself first. Do you want to have good marriage? Put your spouse first. But if you want to have great marriage, come on, we got to put God first. Anyone here wants to have great marriage? Come on. We got to put God first. Awesome. So we got to talk a little while for a greatest commandment. The greatest commandment, we're going to jump to Matthew 22. And it says that one of them, an expert in the law, tested Jesus with this question. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. So this is really huge, asking like, which is the greatest, most important thing? It's actually to love God. That it goes on, it says that this is the first and the greatest commandment. And the second is like this, love your neighbor and as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two. So, you know, you got to understand, in the Old Testament has about 600 different laws and rules and all of that, commandments. And what Jesus does, he takes all of those 600 commandments and he puts them into this simple two. He makes this greatest summary. So basically, Christianity can be as simple as loving God and people. Because if you love God, if you love people, there is no way you're going to murder that guy. So it kind of like works together. So just this is really, and it talks there about three types of love. So if you notice, there is a loving of God. This is the first one. We gotta love your God. There is loving your neighbor that's over there as well, and that's loving as you love yourself. So there are those three types of love we have and carry. But the most important one of those is actually the love of God. Amen? So just really, guys, want to encourage you when it comes to love, just really, come on, let's put God first. Just really want to challenge you in this area. Come on, if you are single, why don't you find someone who loves God more than you? Even after you got married, why don't you marry someone that will, even after the wedding, love God more than you? What a great challenge. I actually got it from my mom, this one. I really recommend it. Very good. The second thing I want to talk about, this was very helpful for me and Kika when we got married. We've been like, my parents used to call us like Italian couple. I don't know if you ever seen Italian couple. So me and Kika, when we got married, we are pretty expressive. We never had anyone before. So we were like the first boyfriend, girlfriend. And suddenly we start dating. And after a while, I'm telling you, we went mad. We were crazy. We were really arguing hard and really bad. It was ugly. And after 2 hours, we were kissing, we were hugging, we were in love. So it was like a up and down, up and down, up and down. It was really crazy. But one of the things that really was really practical and really helped us is the idea of a triangle of love. So this is the triangle of love. So up there you can see God. On the left side, you can see husband, then there is a wife. This is a triangle of love. I don't know if you ever seen it, but it's really helpful. And one of the first things I realized that in a moment, when I stopped caring about my relationship with God, my marriage actually weakened. Right? So that was one of the first things I noticed. And so this triangle actually talks about these three connections we have. The first connection you can see is between God and husband, then God and wife, and then between husband and wife. So those are the three connections. And what you can see here, the closer you actually move to God, suddenly the closer you start to moving to each other. Just really a beautiful picture that, and the sad thing, it actually works the other side as well. The more disconnected you start to become from God, the more far away you go, the more far away and you start to be disconnected with one another, with your as a husband and wife. So this is something that really, really we tried as a Kika. Come on, we got to prioritize our relationship with Jesus. We got to keep working, making sure that our heart is okay. And just really, so this is something that very simple, but very helpful. And it's the whole idea of a triple braided cord from Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 12. It says, a person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. But three, now listen, but three are even better. For a triple braided cord, it is not easily broken. Let's say it together. For a triple braided cord is not easily, come on, you guys are so talented. Let's go. Come on, in a way, we are strong together. But one, if Jesus is at the center of your marriage, come on, you guys start to become undefeatable. That's one of the most powerful things. So just really the idea, we got to renew our mind. We got to put God first. And we got to really make sure that we are connecting to Him. But as well, one of the things just really want to talk about how we can grow together in God. How we can grow in God together. And there are actually three ways that really were helpful in our marriage, what we could do. And the first thing was actually simply praying together. One of the simplest things we could do is just really to pray together. But if you talk to many people, you eventually will find out how many couples don't pray together. Right? But it's really an amazing thing because eventually you touch the God's heart and it will connect you as well. And we can often find excuses why not to pray, right? But just come on, let's just do it. Sometimes just do it, Nike, right? And but hey, if you don't know maybe how to pray with your spouse, this might be helpful. Just keep it short. You don't have to pray for 2 hours. Keep it short. Keep it consistent. Actually, yesterday I was in the gym after 3 months. So sometimes my legs are shaking. and sometimes it's like, you know, it's more effective to go to the gym every day for 45 minutes than to go to a gym once in a month for 3 hours, right? You're actually going to have much better results. And the same, it works like this, right? Keep it consistent, keep it short, and do it as often, and you will see results. And if you miss a day, don't miss two, right? Come on, it's okay. Sometimes happens. We are not religious about it. But if it happens, come on, let's protect this. Let's protect this habit, right? And also another thing, how we can grow in God together, just really serving together, that for me and Kika, since we were dating, we actually been looking for opportunities where to serve, and it was something that really connected us. And so really recommend you guys serving together. You'll grow as you do it. And we never are more Jesus-like than when we serve. So that's really something amazing. And you will see your spouse really moving one step up, growing, becoming more confident in God. And it's a really a beautiful journey. And another thing is just really being surrounded with people you can grow with. They often say, hey, if you are the smartest person in the room, you are in the wrong room. We always want to grow, right? That's why we have Pastor Miro here, doctor of theology. And so, hey, just really coming to church, we actually made agreement together with Kika in New Zealand. Come on, we will not even discuss about not going to church. Why? Because that environment is bigger than us. And we want to grow, right? We want to grow. We want to move, be more like Jesus. And as well, just really being part of a small group, some people you can trust with, you can talk to, you can pray for. That's really one of the best things you can grow. Just really be part of the community. So one of the great things how to grow in God is actually those three simple things. Another thing we just quickly want to talk about, I'm jumping from topic, but I hope in the next 3 hours we'll make it. Nah, joking. Okay, the next thing is actually, I know we have 30 minutes, I think. We have it's building a strong foundation. Building a strong foundation. Why don't we say it together? Let's go. So how you build a strong foundation, how we do it, how this happens. It happens when you actually hear and do what the Bible says. As simple as that, when you hear and do what the Bible says. And we were going to quickly read a story from Matthew chapter 7. It's about building a house on the rock. And I believe some of you heard this story. It's a story that Jesus is saying. He's saying that everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them, it's a big difference, is not enough only to hear. Jesus is saying, come on. You gotta hear and then do what I say. And then it goes, then will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house. But it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. Then it goes on, and everyone who hears these words and of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man. So you can see the difference. Will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain fell, and the floods came, and the wind blew and beat against the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. So just really this amazing, amazing idea. You think like, oh, everything is going well if we don't listen to God. But once the storm will come into your life, you'll notice that it's good to have house on the strong foundation. Anyone here work on the construction before? Hey, here we go. Just one person in the room. Come on, let's give him a hand. Let's go. So when you build a house, what's the first thing you do? You make the foundation. That's right. Let's give him a hand. Come on, let's go. So good. We got some smart people in the room. Let's go. So imagine your life is like a house. One of the first things we do, we actually have to lay foundation, right? And how many of you believe, come on, Jesus is the best foundation. Jesus is the best foundation we can actually be building our lives on. I want my life to be built on His truth. I want to hear what He's saying about those things of life. And not only hear, but actually I need to do it. Because that's how I know I'm not the foolish man, but the wise man over there, right? So ignorance of the Word of God will actually create a big damage in your life. Once the storm will come, it's important that we actually hear and do what the Bible is saying to us. Come on, Equipers Church, we want to create culture We want to hear and do what God says to us. When it comes to what kind of a marriage you want to build? This is really a great question. I hope you got to think about it. But why don't we just really become intentional about this? What kind of marriage, what kind of a family I want to have? Just really a great thinking. And there are three areas we can actually start building. The first one is just really the beliefs, the things we actually believe in, then the values we have, and then the culture we create. Those three things are very important. So when it comes to beliefs, hey, come on, do you even believe for a marriage for whole life? Do you even believe that? Do you even believe that you can be happily married your whole life? That you can laugh your whole life, one another? You can enjoy sex your whole life with that same person? We actually made agreement with Kika. We're not going to even use the words divorce together. It's off the table. It's not even an option. If problems will come on, we got to face it, we got to solve it, we're going to repair what's broken. It's not an option for us. Do you believe that God can actually restore your family? Do you believe that? Come on, one of the things we quickly notice, just really the idea, if something happens from generation to generation, and maybe the divorce is something that's common and you experience that, or maybe it was even in your parents or great parents, maybe there can be a generational curse that has to be broken in the name of Jesus. And if that's your case, we just really pray right now in the name of Jesus to break every generational curse. So yeah, in the name of Jesus right now, amen. So just really when it comes to your beliefs, that's on what you are building as well. The second thing, when it comes to values, this will actually help you to guide your life to make the right decisions. We actually, when we've been on a Bible college, we sit down together, we make a list what we want our marriage to look like. And we started writing things and we're like, oh, these things actually comes under this value. These things come actually under this value. And we came with a couple of values we've wrote down what we want to have. The first value is actually the kingdom purpose. Come on, me and Kika, when we got to make a decision, a big decision in life, how is this advancing the kingdom of God and not only our lives? So that was for us very important. And just really, the second one was the honor. How we treat one another, how we communicate and talk with one another. Come on, we got to respect one another and honor. Another thing we actually wrote down is we want to stay in love. One thing is to fall in love. That's quite easy. A hard thing to stay in love is sometimes a hard work, right? So this is often a sacrifice. It's often about self-sacrifice. And then once you get the babies, it's even self-sacrifice on the triple. So it just goes on and goes on. But we said, hey, kiss, hug, and I love you is going to be our everyday routine. Not only if we feel like it, but everyday routine. And as well, we want to love one another more than we love our kids. So that's also very important. Then stewardship. Come on, how we going to handle the things God is entrusting to us? That's very important. We want to be a good steward. Anyone else wants to be a good steward? Because if we are faithful with little, God can give us more. So the same we talk about, with our priorities, with our time. For any businessman right here, if you think you don't have enough time, come on. You got to find time to do the will of God. We got to find time to do the will of God. Because that's what this is all about. And then just really being faithful with money, with our house and how we live. So those things were very important for us. Hospitality was a big one. Some of you even been at our place and slept there. So you guys know our house. Our house is pretty much open. We are often ready for guests. And so that's a lifestyle. And as well, sometimes not easy, but it is what it is. And then honesty. Honesty is a big one. So just really the idea that sin actually grows in the dark best and the fastest. If you'll keep hiding the sin, it will grow, it will destroy you. And we often have tendency to put things under the carpet. But it's even more visible when you put it under there. We just like, oh, I don't see it. I just put it away from the side. But it's actually still there. So you want to take the things out of the carpet and face it. So the only things when we can lie to one another is when we are about to surprise one another. That's the only exception. And the culture, when it comes to culture, Each family has a culture, okay? Every single family. Your family has a culture. Our family had culture, and Kika's family had different culture. Every culture is different. That's okay. Doesn't mean that one culture is good and other culture is wrong. It's just different, right? And sometimes what we notice when we become married is that there is a cultural shock. We experience it's called like a cultural shock. When you think about just really a fish in the sea, what's the last thing the fish notice? It's the water, right? And that's a great picture of a culture. But when you take the fish out of the sea, what's the first thing it's going to notice? It's the water. There is no water, right? So that's how much we are surrounded in our lives of the culture. And often what happens is that when the two cultures come together, it's different, but it can be also beautiful. And the good news is, you can actually decide what kind of a culture you want to create. You can take the best from one family and the best from the other family, and you can create your own culture that's going to be beautiful and make the best out of the two. Come on. Another thing that was really helpful for me and Kika really helped us, this whole idea of love and honor. Why don't we say it together? Awesome. So this is, it actually goes to Ephesians chapter 5. It goes that husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. So this is addressing to husbands. Our role, we actually got to love our wives. It's very important. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. This is the hard to hear for some people. And then, however, let each husband love his wife as himself. Let the wife see that she respects her husband. And so this whole idea of love and honor has been really something that helped us. Because the moment I stopped loving Kika, she started to disrespect me, dishonor me. The moment I start to, she starts to disrespect me and honor me, I stopped to loving her. So this is something what we notice. It's like a circle. It just goes together. You love her. For her, it's easy to respect you. She respects you. For you, it's easy to love her, right? Makes sense. And often, it's like, come on, for all the husbands here, come on. We got to love our wives as much as ourselves. The same amount of money you spend, she can spend too. Any ladies saying amen right now? Come on. Come on. I expect a little bit bigger, more excited ladies at this one. Everything we enjoy, our wives should enjoy as well. We got to love our wives as much as ourselves. So it's just the idea, one of the biggest needs, this is just really good for women to understand. One of the biggest needs for men is actually the whole idea of respect and honor. And as well for you guys, one of the ideas of how to understand, one of the biggest needs for women is actually the feeling of being loved and secure. And when we talk about love, we often talk about the five languages of love. It's also a great book. You can check it out later by Gary Chapman. There are five different love languages. And the whole idea is about expressing our love, how we express. Okay, I love you. But love unexpressed is actually not love. Right? Love that is not expressed is not real love. We need to express our love. But now listen, not with our natural way, but in the way that's natural to our partner. That's how he receives it. So in a way, for example, if my language of love would be gifts, and for example, Kika's love language would be physical touch, which actually is our case. We did the test. I never complain about it, by the way. But you know, it doesn't matter how much I bring Kika's roses. What matters is that she wants to do something else because her language of love is physical touch, right? So for us, what is important? Come on, we gotta express our love the way the other receives it, right? That's the thing, because I can say, I love you, I love you, I love you by my words, but what she wants to say is that I'm going to be cleaning the dishes, I'm going to be vacuuming the apartment, and that's how, when it starts to make sense. It's not about how I naturally express, it's about how the other person naturally, and this was very helpful for us, and just really recommend you reading the book. It's amazing. Another thing, hey, this is a big challenge we can call the musician. And the big challenge, one of the biggest things was actually be the first to say sorry. So it's quite hard. Be the first to say sorry. So the Bible is big on forgiveness. The Bible is big on forgiveness. One of the first things that God wants to actually teach us when we get married, when we start dating, when we have a spouse, is actually this whole idea of forgiveness. It's one of the first things that God will be teaching you, right? And sometimes God actually intentionally adds heat in our lives so that things can come to the surface. But He is building our character. And often we think like, oh, this is the enemy, this is the devil trying to destroy me. But often it's like, no, this is actually God who is trying to build you up, to build you a strong character, and just really so we can move forward. And just really being the first to say sorry is really, you need to be humble to do that. Actually, I don't know, anyone here has siblings? Anyone here siblings? There is a lot. How many of you know that to say sorry first when you argue is pretty tough sometimes, right? Right? We actually gotta be humble to do that. But I like my parents actually often encourage me after I fight with my siblings when I was younger. Is actually that be first to say sorry. Right? It doesn't matter if you started the thing, but be first. Because once you do it, it actually inspires the other person to humble as well. And so that's something really I want to encourage you, something that really can change the whole of your relationship. Just really be humble. Matthew 6, 14 to 15 says, Matthew 6, For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sin, your Father will not forgive your sin. So come on, we actually gotta forgive one another anyway. Why don't you be the first one? Right? Come on, even when you think about it, Jesus was actually the first one who forgave us. And because Jesus forgave us first, now it should be easier for us to say sorry to one another. Right? Because there is a spiritual violation that takes place. If God is giving us this blessing of forgiveness and we don't pass it on, come on, be sorry, be first to say sorry. Another thing is just really to stay pure. Stay pure. And, you know, the whole idea, how can I do that? How can I stay pure? It's a good question to ask, right? Because it's not easy. We live in the culture, that we live in the broken world. We have a sinful nature, right? We deal with stuff. We deal with stuff. We are humans. We are not perfect. But God is giving us this big and massive challenge. Come on, we gotta stay pure. I love what the Psalms 119 says. It says, how can a young person stay pure? It actually gives us an answer right away. By obeying your word. I have tried hard to find you. Don't let me wander from your commands, God. I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Come on, what a wonderful thing. Just allow God to touch your heart. Allow God to move in your heart. Don't close your heart from God. Obey Him. I love what it says. It actually says, try hard. I have tried hard. To find. Sometimes we gotta try hard to stay pure. And it goes on in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22. It says, run from anything that stimulates a youthful lust. Instead, pursue righteous living, faithfulness, love, and peace. Enjoy the companionship of those who call on the Lord with pure heart. Come on, when it comes to lust, when it comes to all of this sexual impurity, all that, what we gotta do? First thing, we gotta run. Why don't we say together, run? Look at your neighbor and say, run. Come on, run. We gotta run. There are some, when the urge comes, run. Run. Just do it. Come on. Some things we are not called to just talk, we're not just to think, we gotta run from. Some giants we need to slay, right? But some giants we actually need to run from. And just really don't think you are strong enough to stay, to like it doesn't take you. Like you will never fail. God, I will never fail in this. I will never do such a thing. Don't think that way. It's not humble. I love what it says in John chapter 13. Just really the story that you see just really before Jesus is about to go on the cross. Before he's about to die. Do you know what he's doing? Listen, you see, Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God. He knew he's just about to die. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with a towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize what I'm doing now, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." I love what Jesus answered. Now listen, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." Come on, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." Unless you don't allow God to clean you, to make you pure. Come on, this is so powerful. He can't use you. This is about daily transformation. Maybe we can think, "Oh, I repented 2 weeks ago." Doesn't mean you are pure today. If you cleanse yourself 2 weeks ago, probably you already stink. It's really the idea. Come on. Let's not think of ourselves. We are strong enough. Let's not think that way. I love what 1 Corinthians says, chapter 10. It says, "If you think you are standing strong, be careful not to fall." Right? I love what the other translation says. "So beware. If you think you this could never happen to you." How often I used to say that pretty well, "Oh, this will never happen to me." Right? "Lest your pride becomes your downfall." Oh, this is a pretty strong word. This actually comes out of the pride. Come on, let's set a strong boundaries. Come on, if we walk too close to the edge, what's going to happen? I can easily fall, right? Come on, how much safer is it if we look, "Hey, I see that. I got to keep distance from it. I don't want to fall down there." Come on, let's set a strong boundaries so we won't fall in this. Before got married, I used to struggle a lot with pornography and with this whole idea of lust. And I always thought that once I got married, it will stop. But guess what? It didn't. The temptation came and I was still struggling. And I remember when I told my wife about this issue and the whole time I was doing this, and she just broke down and was crying, and I hurt her badly. And it was really a very painful, it broke my heart. And I wish so much I could overcome this thing before the wedding. I wish so much I would never hurt her when we got married with this. Thankfully, praise God, I actually got healed from this and got free when I was in the Bible college. God really broke this in my life and I'm free now, so praise God. But really, how much would I wish I could win this before so I would never hurt her while we were married? Come on, if you are not married yet, come on, one of the things you can do, come on, face your issues right now. It will not miraculously disappear once you get married. Face your issues right now. If you are dealing with stuff, face it. Seek help from God, from people around you. And just really, how you can prepare for marriage, just really seek God and allow Him to change you. Just really allow God to transform you, to renew how you think, how you do life, your habits, your lifestyle. And as well, just really, come on, humble yourself and work hard on yourself. It's going, you know, how many of you ever heard that marriage is a hard work? A good marriage, let me correct myself, good marriage is a hard work. One of the things you can do as well, pray for your future spouse right now. Almost every day, I was actually praying for my future spouse. God, I don't know who she is. I'm sure she's beautiful. I'm sure she's going to blow my mind. And just really the idea, come on, you can pray for, just really pray for protection. Pray that she will not do anything stupid, that God will protect her, and just really that she can grow, she can move forward, she can already win a lot of stuff. One of the best things you can do, actually pray. But right now, come on, I think we can end, but let's just stand for a moment. Let all of us, if we can just stand for a little while, we're gonna... I know this is not easy, but we are right here in this room, come on, we are just a group of friends. Challenging one another to go higher in God. Come on, just really want to challenge you today. Come on, put God first. Seek Him. Allow Him to touch your heart, to change your thinking. Allow Him to wash you, to clean you, to defeat some stuff. Feel free just to close your eyes, maybe lift up your hands right now. Hallelujah, Jesus. Come on, man, maybe you feel right now as well like this is way too difficult for me. I was not created this way. Come on, that's why we gotta get born again. Jesus is giving us new life. And He wants to give you Holy Spirit who will be your helper, who is here to help you, to guide you, so you can pursue God's perfect will. You are not called to do this alone. Let's just ask, Holy Spirit, I need you. Holy Spirit, I can't do this without you. Help me to win in relationships, Jesus. Jesus, be at the center of my relationships. Hallelujah, Jesus. Just really praying for a hunger for God. Come on, right now, doesn't matter if you are married or not. Come on, just really praying that God will release a hunger after His presence right now. Praying for a new passion right now. New passion, new love. Maybe you are married for a little while and you don't have the feelings anymore. I just really pray that God will breathe a fresh life, a fresh love, just really a fresh passion and feelings. It will hold your marriage, it will connect to you again, it will give you a wisdom right now in the name of Jesus. We pray as well, maybe you are here and there has been a lot of stuff going on and coming on the surface in the last season. Just really right now, just praying for healing in the name of Jesus. God wants to restore your family. God wants to restore your relationships. God wants to restore your marriage. I pray that God will give you a fresh anointing. God will give you a strength to not seek the easy way out, but to seek the victory, to overcome everything that stands before you, to overcome. You are called to be overcomers. Come on. You are not called to run. In the name of Jesus, I am praying for strength in this place. Facing our reality, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. I'm praying God's going to just really give you a clear picture of what a healthy marriage should look like. In the name of Jesus, why don't we sing this together? Hallelujah, Jesus. Let's sing this together. Come on, God wants to touch your heart right now. God wants you to win in your relationships. Just say, God, I need you. He's not giving up on you. He loves you.